Welcome to Sad Boys, a podcast about feelings
and other things also. I'm Jarvis.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Nick.
Oh, shit. We're joined today.
Pickle Nick in the house.
Pickleless Nicholas.
I don't know if we should go with that nickname, but I appreciate it.
Nicky Roiland.
Green is not Nick, or Nick is not green.
You be the judge.
Yeah, judge me. Which one am I?
We're joined by essentially our intern, I feel. Like, you're the most common Sad Boys guest. Do you know that?
This is number three.
Yeah, this is number three. Though there is a lost episode in there somewhere.
Yeah, the first episode we had was us three all doing virtual. We were all on Zoom.
That's the good one.
The first time I ever talked to Jarvis.
Yeah, because I got a text. What is this, 2020, 2021?
It's 2021.
Yeah, because I got a text from Jordan that was like, hey, there's this guy, Nick. He likes the podcast. Should we have him on? And I was like, okay.
We should prank him. Let's have him on as a bit.
Yeah, it's that easy, everybody.
And then we won't even put out the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have just seemed
sad. We shadow banned you from the, like, no, because there was an era of the podcast during the remote years where
the dark times
where we were doing the show remotely and we were trying different ways of doing it, one of which was on Twitch, and a lot of the Twitch episodes didn't get released. And I think it's because I was depressed.
Yeah, no, that'll do it.
And so they're on my hard drive, sits these episodes with like Nick and Marquez Brownlee, who graciously agreed to do the show, that I just never released because I was very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So only a few hundred people saw them. And then funny enough, second time we did it, it was us two in person and Jordan virtual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I keep this with me.
The episode's playing in your pocket.
Oh, fuck, it's bear repellent.
You know how on Jimmy Fallon, like, he takes out the paper and he shows the camera and it zooms in?
Yeah.
That's sort of like what I'm doing here.
Okay.
I brought something from home.
Okay. Oh, shit. We have no idea what this is.
Give me a second.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's fine. Should we keep it? Should we riff for it or like what?
No.
It's insane how much you folded it. That's so many times.
I keep this with me everywhere I go.
Wow, that's so low res.
It's like you purposely made it lower res than it's ever been.
I wouldn't do that. Come on, it's just a new printer.
What's under 144?
Can we get this on the camera?
With the resolution, it almost looks like we're all in the same room.
Yeah, you can't really see the seam.
It looks like we might be different people.
Yeah,
so we might all be the same.
Damn, we were so young then.
I know.
Oh, dude.
Those were the days.
From end of 2020. One, I know that because it was three apartments ago.
Yeah, oh.
That's how it's been a year and a half since I.
And I'm three places because, well, no, first one we were at, I was in my parents' basement. This one
is at my house,
in Jarvis's house.
Jarvis's basement.
And then this one's in Jarvis's house, but you're here.
Yeah. So we're back. The boys are back.
You seem pissed.
The boys are back.
This is fun to do. The show in person with all of the guests that we've had on before. Finally, like,
it's fun to scale it up in who's in person.
Yeah.
Next episode, another person, but like they're not on the microphone.
Yeah.
Like standing right there.
Yeah. No, that seems like.
They're like, what?
They can't hear you from
there. Yeah. We have like Danny Gonzalez just standing there.
It is like very. I'm working on a project with Ethan right now where like we've been talking about how guests might work or what's kind of, and it's a semi-scripted, so like the bit would be getting a guest in and doing something weird and kind of Eric Andre-ish, and the thought is right now is getting like a very famous guest, like getting Rhett and Link on or something, and then bringing a mime in and we only talk to the mime for like an hour and a half. And we're like, oh, sorry, we were talking to the, just give it a second.
It's like that Jimmy Kimmel bit where he's like, sorry to Matt Damon, we ran out of time.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt Damon is like there the whole time and he just doesn't talk to him. It is kind of like, it does warm my heart. Like I saw the All-Star game, not All-Star game, the celebrity game, the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Guillermo was there and I was like, this is awesome.
It's just such a like interesting take on the co-host is to have a guy stand not near your desk, but like across the room,
right.
near a door that nobody goes through the entire show.
What a bizarre experience for someone that's never seen the show before.
Yeah.
Like if Andy Richter was lying down on the ground and every night for the first time it just cut to him. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I do feel like it probably didn't come from a good place, the origin of that bit. You know?
Yeah,
I mean?
No, I think they took it a little bit too far. I feel like the fact that it's been, what has it been, 60 years now? Guillermo's still standing in the goddamn corner. Give him a chair.
They have to let him go home. Like at some point, surely. Right.
Have you seen clips where Jimmy Kimmel will like take like low-key sound like angry, like there's clips where he'll be like, all right, get out. Like you can see that's horrible. Like kind of shooing him away.
Oh, that's very bad. For those who don't know, Nick is not green. He is a YouTube content creator, musician, goofy guy.
Yeah, philosopher.
Philosopher. Also, the face of Internet Soy Boys.
Yeah, I'm actually...
That's true. You're in the collage.
Yeah. I know. I made it in the pic collage.
Yeah.
You're in the shrine. Now bolstering Charlie, holding Charlie up.
Yeah, I do like that they made the collage. Like, I guess Nico or whatever made the collage. And then he started going after Charlie, unprovoked. And then they had to add Charlie in the middle of the collage.
Hey, why is that collage vertical, by the way?
Dude,
none of it makes any sense.
The hardest way to see it in a tweet.
Graphic design is their passion.
And I'm just like, I imagine Sneeko like downloading like a picture collage app and being like putting in all having all
he
of
probably
the pictures.
Asks his Discord to do it.
Yeah, he's like, can anyone throw this together?
There's how many tips?
Guys, you have to pay $2.99 to get the watermark off. Oh, like, what do I do with
I'm
the
going
collage?
Somewhere with my girlfriend tonight. I can't do this right now.
And it's
going
to be very emotionally taxing on me.
I got to get the outfits we're both wearing or the leather.
What is your, how do you feel about being in the collage?
You know, I'm among the greats. You know?
I mean, it is kind of interesting because I saw Fresh and Fit recently tweeted at you like months late.
Over a year.
Oh.
I checked the video I made. And I don't even make like this content anymore. The ship has sailed.
Right.
It was very odd. It was, do you remember when like Keem just went at Eddie?
Yeah.
Years after Eddie had ever
on
spoken
Christmas.
About him. And then got like 100.
Like New Year's Eve or something.
Got 100 likes and the entire internet turned around and was like, shut up. I'll kill you in real life.
Yeah.
I don't mean to brag, but I am the number one ratio reply to that tweet.
Yeah.
Just said bald.
Yeah.
Damn.
Sometimes that's all you need. I just was like, I saw the tweet and it was just like, the end of it is just literally like, women make less because women deserve less. And I'm like, all right, there's not like a, there's no way to like dismantle your argument.
And it's so you not like, but it also feels like there are these, you know, very easy, not very easy to disprove, but like, very tangled web of like misleading statements and shit where it's almost bait where you have to like fully take them to task and like cite your sources. And then the people who are following them on gut are going to do that regardless. Like, so there's no,
it's a dog whistle that you can't disprove to them because they don't care. And also all of the circumstances that do lead to the wage gap are like boring to talk about. And so they're just like, I don't know, like vibe, it's vibes oriented. Stop confusing me, I'm afraid.
And then like, you know, how dare you ever mention gender roles and how women are pushed into certain career paths by like sort of society.
Yeah, social conditioning is not a thing unless of course it is them not having sex with
it's
me.
It's like they're choosing.
Please. It's not fair actually.
Please, I want it though.
Please, I want it. What a fucking riveting experience it must be to fuck one of those incels. Am I right? the exciting pillow talk of like, how many Discord servers are you in?
Yeah, that is interesting. Like,
you on Rumble?
Like, because if you make your career on talking about that stuff, like, how boring must it be for you to talk about or to talk to you? Just like, what do you have to like? I mean, just be an interesting person, live a life worth commenting on.
Have you seen that video of Sneeko proposing to his girlfriend
with the Andrew Tate clip? Is that real? Like, did he really propose?
What is this?
Okay. We got to pull it up.
There you go.
Free Andrew Tate?
Of course.
Free Tristan Tate?
Of course.
There's a gun off screen.
Masseuse? Will you marry me?
It's get a hobby.
Yeah.
Like, fuck me. Is this really your number one interest on all? Also, it cracks me up how slightly less enthusiastic she is about Tristan Tate.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Sure. Why is that the follow-up question? Yeah. Free Andrew Tate? Oh, yeah, for sure. Free Tristan Tate?
Yeah.
Sure. He can stay, actually.
Does it really add anything to the conversation?
Yeah. No. Oh, who was that? Have you seen that video of Andrew Tate mocking Tristan Tate, saying, you won't walk down all these stairs? He just keeps saying, yeah, I bet you not to walk down all these stairs. Yeah, whatever the hell he talks. I bet you not to walk down all these stairs.
Chills, once again. Okay. Need I remind you that I hate doing this accent?
Yeah, you really got it down.
It really fucks everyone up.
You got everyone too well.
Everyone gets upset because when I do it, they're like, I actually got stretched out and started a cold sweat while I was listening to the podcast. So, Nick, one thing I wanted to ask you about is, like, you have transitioned your content into, you're doing different stuff now.
Yep. It's kind of ruining my life, but.
Let's get into it.
You used to do like funny stuff.
Yeah, I used to do funny stuff.
Yeah, you used to be like a funny, quirky guy. You kind of were like kind of hung with the big boys, you know?
Yeah. And now I'm sitting.
And now you're in your own little chair.
In my own little chair.
Your little kids' table.
So yeah, content. Oh man, big conversation.
Oh shit, I didn't know you were.
No, I just go through a crisis like every month now where I'm going through the, I never thought I was going to be one of the YouTubers who's like, I'm so tired all the time. I can't make videos. I'm so sad. I can't get out of bed. I was like, losers.
Yeah, right? You were like, just make videos.
Daily video.
Yeah. You were going so hard with the daily videos. We were all worried about you. Yeah.
You should have been, because look where I am now.
It is a thing where I think that we've both been like, hey, you know, make sure you're taking time for yourself.
I mean, I tried to, while I was like doing daily, I was trying to like, you were like, I'm looking for an editor. And I was like, maybe I should do
it. Oh, yeah. And I remember, there was a conversation Nick and I had very early on in our friendship where I said, no, you cannot edit for me because you are very shortly not going to have any time to yourself.
And I was like,
because you're
going to
be a big successful YouTuber. And I was right.
I was one. You were right. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing the dastardly task of one, trying to like make different content because I didn't like the content I was making. But while at the same time trying to get back into an algorithm that I haven't been posting on as much as I used to.
Right.
The dastardly task. the downright conundrum.
Yeah. And that's the scary thing.
Mechanically was what you weren't liking about your content before that you've changed?
Yeah.
I think I just wasn't, I felt like I wasn't connected to any of the videos. I felt like I was always like, okay, let me put this idea on the assembly line of like, work with a writer to make a script, shoot the script, send it off to an editor, get the video back a few days later, barely watch it and put it up. And sure, if it's about something that's topical, like Andrew Tate, it's going to get a lot of views. But then it's like, okay, what is that video in a year to me, right?
Right.
Like, what, no one's like, well, let me go hit up Nick's old videos so I can see what him talking about this guy. And so I like want to center things more around me and my, and doing things in real life, but it's this hard mix to find. Cause at the same time, it's like post video that's different than something I've done before that I'm really proud of.
Right.
It tanks because it's one, I haven't posted in a month, and two, it's not something I've made before. After it tanks, I get really sad. Can go back into my hole, wait for a month, and then I'm like, okay, I'm inspired by this idea. This is going to do great.
Yeah.
And then it remains to be that cycle. And then it's like, if you want to go back and make the thing that got you popular in the first place, at some point you're just going to be not happy about that again.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to try to switch your content. It's not going to perform well.
Right.
And then
this is
loop begins.
A very common experience for a lot of creators.
Yeah.
It's also something that like,
not me.
Sorry, I was crying. Unrelated.
It's something that I have my own version of, but also went through when I was shifting out of like tech content.
Yeah.
Because for before like my switch into commentary worked, I was doing like video with software engineer in the title, and then like a bunch of other stuff that I was trying to like see what would hit. And then everything would like tank. And then I'd be like, okay, video software engineer in the title again. And it'd be like, yay.
It's I mean, no, it was also tricky looking at like contemporaries in the tech field and not having an obvious reason it wasn't performing as well as other, because it just, something in their case popped, but and like it didn't seem to be imitatable, even though the content was like comparable. It was, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think that like I was definitely tapping the tech audience, but the tech audience wasn't going to be interested. They were more interested in the tech or in the career elements of it. There's like this comment that I got where somebody was like, oh yeah, I love the information, but could you take the jokes out? It like help get the information faster. And I was like, yeah, I'm not reaching the right person.
Yeah.
And hi, I'm an machine learning AI. I'm just trying to generate information.
Yeah. There is a brand of person who just like, that's how they like, it's the same type of person who, and I'm about to call some people out, who like watch YouTube videos on 2x speed.
Dude. Right.
Yeah. That person, you're valid. I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, but I think it comes down to like, are you here to be entertained or are you here to be informed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No wrong way to play kind of thing. But like, I still always struggle to shake. Like if I think somebody's playing a video game, especially in like a suboptimal way, I'm like one of the, I know I'm wrong, but, and I don't talk about it like publicly and have never made, I never record it and say release it on a podcast, but like I have got stuck in that like, no, Dark Souls should not have an easy mode. That's the point of the experience. And I'm wrong. It should, and who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Or like Dark Souls, the magic is kind of busted. Well, that is the easy mode.
Mean, I kind of feel like, I mean, not to get on this track, but like, I kind of feel, you know, so what if it doesn't have an easy mode? It's just a game that's, I think a game doesn't have to be accessible to every single person. Mm. And I do think accessibility at large is great, but I don't know. Maybe this is making me sound anti-accessibility. I just think it's like it's a form of art. I'm a little bit more on the side of the creator made it that way on purpose. You know, much in the way of like, oh, I think it's goofy that like some of these like sort of old Hollywood huge filmmakers are like make their movie, like the dialogue sounds really muddied. Yeah. Like when you watch it on TV, because it's built for like Dolby Atmos or whatever.
Yeah.
And like it's built for like it's like a 72 channel, like audio channel thing. But then when it's down mixed, like, you know, it doesn't come out. And they're like, well, you should watch it in the theater. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It's dark. Well, you should watch it in the preferred way. I think it's a little goofy, but at the same time, hey, you have your own artistic license to do, you know, it however you want.
That's a good point.
And you can accept the consequences of that if people do disengage with. I should say, by the way, I ultimately do land on the side of give Dark Souls an easy mode, because that's a path to people that can't play it.
Yeah.
Literal accessibility, right?
Right.
But it is, it's that same little chunk of elitism in my brain that is, I playing it on 2x speed, with the exception of like some, they are exclusively Australian, an Australian guy explaining how to like render an effect in Premiere or something. Yeah. Then I just need to get through it, because it's a 15-minute
when you're extracting information, like, and I think that, you know, I think the people who were doing a 10-minute tutorial where like 3 minutes of it is like intro and stuff are misguided about like I think that it's hard to build a personality brand on tutorials.
Yeah.
And I think if someone is trying to do that, then they are going to frustrate the viewer, because the average viewer coming into that tutorial is there for just the information. And so you get the like video starts at 4 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever. But if somebody does that for like a commentary video, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
It's like,
because it's like, you're here for the entertainment. Just sit down. You
it's
know
like, I'm
mean?
Not required to write an intro for any of these videos.
Like, like somebody put, replied to our Patreon announcement. Announcement starts at 1 minute 30 seconds. I'm like, it's a 2 minute video. Relax.
What do you think it's about? Also?
Yeah. Like, but that's also a double standard, and I will own that.
It is just I just know that I am judging you if you watch something on 2x speed, and you deserve it, actually.
But
quite frankly,
going back to you, Nick, this is like a part of the creative journey.
Yeah.
You know, I think I myself like burned out like very shortly after going full time because I was burning the candle at both ends just with working tech job and then doing YouTube. And then when I could finally leave tech job to do YouTube, I was just so tired. and but I wasn't able to like give myself the time to recharge because I was like, I need to work. I need to. And I took so many months off of my channel. And I've done that again recently. But fortunately I've had like the second channel and the podcast and sort in the streams and sort of like other outlets. But it kind of is just like, it's a marathon, not a race, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of just have to, I think that you're not failing as long as you're staying in it and you're like exploring, you know, because you're very young and you have like your whole career ahead of you. So this time is important to figure out a sustainable path forward for yourself.
And it is viable. You know, this is not like if a video drops, bankrupted, career over.
Back to
a completely separate grind, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting thing because I feel like the whole, like my first video of 2022, I remember was this whole video about how I hate the way YouTube does their analytics, what they show their creators. I feel like it's like not productive overall for people who are like making content on their platform. And then I'm here like over a year later, still like going through that, trudging through that mud, but in a way that is like 10 times worse than it was a year ago.
Yeah.
And now I'm at the point where it's like, I can't even like open the YouTube Studio app. Like I don't even like check how my video is doing. I put it up and the whole day I'm just in my brain. Like,
yeah,
I know the numbers aren't where I want them to be. Right. And maybe in the future, and it's like YouTube. So you get all this advice from people and like most of it ends up being arbitrary because it's YouTube and we don't understand.
No, don't really know. I mean, like there's a path forward if you want to like Mr. Beastify everything, or you want to like truly optimize. I think that like that doesn't get you to like the soul of the content,
or
like the true like essence. Like you'll never be able to optimize your way to a content strategy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like a thing that works for you. There's no like amount of tweaking the titles and thumbnails that are going to fundamentally change, you know, the essence of what you're creating.
Yeah. I think it's been very like, it's tough because it's like, I'm watching something that's a big fear of mine, which is the like slow decline of like where I once was, you know, a year and a half ago, and struggling with that balance of like, do I need to just put my head down and start doing commentary again because I've dug myself into a hole, or do I need to put my head down and keep doing things that I think are entertaining that I'm going to want to watch back in like 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as a result, it's sort of like this really depressing road of like not doing as well as you want to be doing and not really knowing where that the end of that road is, or when you might feel like content in it.
Fear is tiring.
Yeah,
like it's
exhausting.
People talk a lot about, you know, stress and boosting your cortisol and shutting your body down and just being exhausting. And then you get into a depressive, exhaustive cycle and you get frustrated with yourself for not doing what you couldn't see would be the solution for it. But I'm like, you know, I'm still scared. Every single morning I wake up worrying about my visa. That's what I do all the time. Yeah. I think about doing my taxes and I'm worried, what if I fuck something up? Visa gone. Once I get a car, what if I speed? Single misdemeanor, I get deported. There is like zero patience on anything.
Yeah.
And I just go back to bed and there's no video. Mm-hmm. Like I have not recorded a video in my apartment at all. I don't think I've recorded one video in 4 months.
Yeah.
I think I don't like making videos. Like I legitimately, like proportional to how much I like doing the podcast.
Yeah.
There's a version of me that I want to get back to that's less paralyzed by still like constant travel. Like I'm about to fly back to the UK again. Mm-hmm. And and I imagine you guys are the same. When there's something on the horizon, it's so difficult to, I believe there's like an ADHD term for it.
It's like if you're about to leave to go to a place and like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like when I was in high school, I'd have to go to like Domino's, work my shift, and I'd have like 3 hours where I could do whatever I want. And the whole time you're just like,
Well, I've got this thing coming up. Yeah. So I can't focus on anything.
I should shower, but what if I just lose track of time? I'll just sit and wait. Yeah. So there's a subreddit called Wedding Shaming. And shout out to the person that sent this to me. Typically it is, you know, people saying like every single wedding should have the parents upside down. You know, just like inane shit that is all just the weird volatility of weddings, or people saying like ranking the outfits of the people at their wedding and saying like if your stepmom or if your mother-in-law is less attractive, is worse dressed as your mother, you have more power in the relationship.
Oh, okay.
Just weird stuff.
It's like that. It's like the body language analysis, but for like weird semantics about weddings.
Soft face mother.
Yeah.
My father's cock facing the world.
Yeah.
There is
wife facing the world.
This is what I assume is probably a classic on there. The post is about a year old, and it is called Plantation Weddings Were Contentious Enough Already, which is, you know, it's a phenomenon people know about. People will, you know, the picturesque farmland, possibly cheap to use.
Yeah.
and saying they're contentious is like not wrong.
Pretty quite you know, putting generous.
It lightly, yeah.
Here's the first image.
Oh no.
Nick, would you like to describe it for the audio listeners?
No.
Oh, would I?
Well, let's start.
Deepen that mic for us.
Let's start. It's an interracial relationship. A black man, which is relevant, white woman who's in like, you know, a southern style dress. They're in a like what kind of fruit patch is this? Bush with red something flower.
Maybe it's not like crops, maybe it's been a farmer.
So man is in like my man's is in,
he's Bridgerton coded.
Yeah, he's Bridgerton coded. He's in like he's in plantation owner garb.
Yeah.
He's got the like, I don't even know what that hat's called.
Well, it's like almost a top
I know
hat.
It's got a buckle.
It's a you know, what I mean? It's an Amish top hat, looks like. It's a top hat that like it looks like a Cockney pickpocket. The strangest choice. Now, would it surprise you at all for me to say that that is 50 times less offensive than the following two photos?
Uh-oh. Of the same couple?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Here's the first photo.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no. I was squinting my eyes. He's wearing handcuffs.
He's
no.
wearing... He's in chains.
No.
She's dressed in the same dress. They've taken his jacket off. He's wearing
give him like a straw hat.
What the fuck is this shirt? He's like in a ruffled white shirt.
That's like Hamilton core.
Yeah. And then he's kissing her hand. They're in a crop field now.
Yeah, like that is like a crop corn space. Field or something.
And he is, it's classic romantic poses. But if this were to happen in that era, he would be set on fire.
Yeah.
Like this is, it's, I saw this and I, by myself, the normal Reddit laughs, you know.
Yeah.
I have never pog-faced solo. I was wojacking my phone.
Right. You threw it across the room.
Yeah, right down the toilet. Yeah. I legit, well, I guess we could put a link to the Reddit post on the audio version so people can see it.
Hell yeah.
Truly one of my favorite things I've, and now I'm excited to send it to everyone.
One of my least favorite things, actually.
I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like those guys, right?
He's an ally.
What's up?
You were saying recently that like, it's women this month. You were really like supportive of black people last month, I believe.
Yeah, with someone else. I think you might have.
Yeah. Yeah, you were kind of saying, why do they keep having these months for people I don't care about?
Yeah.
You were like, there's black people and then women.
Christmas is one day.
Yeah, Christmas is one day. Why do women get a month?
Where's half white month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are 1.5 white.
I'm not enough to be one, but I'm not enough to be the other.
What is he saying?
Just biracial things.
Just biracial things. We wouldn't know anything about that. If you're enjoying this episode and you want to see more of it, we are going to be doing a bonus episode immediately after this one.
Every week.
Every single week on our brand new Patreon, patreon.com/sadboys. Check it out.
And I'm showing full frontal in the Patreon episode.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, we should, I guess, check in on the terms of service, right? Maybe it's a Fansly option.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a big seller.
We'll have a big sensor bar or whatever.
It's like maybe not great for that very nice person that recently reached out and was like, it's the only show I can re-listen to or watch with my teenage daughter.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, wow, I'm deleting the show and throwing my phone away. This is crazy what you've done. Maybe that's the new content strategy, is really lean into sex appeal.
Oh.
Maybe that's your new thing.
You don't think I've been doing that in my past?
I thought it was like deliberately not there.
Oh, you thought I was removing any sort of sex appeal.
Yeah.
You want it to be more appropriate.
What is this character he's playing over here?
I'm just...
What do you mean?
He's so inquisitive.
Interesting. I'm wearing a monocle.
Yeah. With a thinker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking for, if anyone's watching at home, I'm looking for a co-host for a new podcast I'm starting called Happy Boys. So I don't know if you guys have any ideas.
Sounds like you need two of those. Two co-hosts. Because, you know, you're sad.
Maybe record it here or something.
What? I'm not. It's called Happy Boys.
No, you're going to be the producer of the show, and you need to find two happy boys to host the show because you're not happy is what I'm saying. That's the bit I was doing.
That makes more sense now that you re-explained it.
Yeah.
Let me do a new reaction. Cut that. Yes.
That's He gets it. All he gets it the first time,
that
too.
That sucks so goddamn much. Dude. Damn. Damn it.
What?
A missed fist bump. That's rough.
Oh.
To see that.
I was trying to punch him.
Oh, wow.
More like a missed bump.
We should cancel the show.
I think it's kind of, we had a good run.
We're shifting in.
If I'm being honest.
Happy Boys era, I think it's time to shift.
Happy Boys.
Happy Boys moment. I will say also, just while taking a beat in the podcast, I wanted to give a shout out to, I don't know if they want their at included in the shout out, because they weren't asking for a shout out, they were just sending a very nice message. But yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to that person. They sent a message that like just the long and short of it was like, the show has been very helpful to us and they've been, you know, recovering from some stuff, and it was very sweet, and they gave love to us both,
and me,
and I was like, shut the hell up.
And you, yeah,
you said that to the person who emailed.
It's my default response to stuff.
Is like, quit, shut up, stop it,
you're being mean. What should I do a video about? Help. The most common response, by the way, I get, I don't know if this is the case in you guys, I get requests to do a video about The Room.
Oh, interesting.
Every week.
I used to get that a lot.
Which is like, it's covered.
Yeah.
It's all settled.
They made a movie about it.
Yeah. They're making another one.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's for charity or something.
A movie? Oh, another The Room.
Another The Room.
Oh, yeah. You're making another disaster artist like about the making of
like,
that movie.
Like, wait, what did I read? It was like because some famous actor was like, yeah, The Room remake, how Bob Odenkirk is great at being terrible. And like Bob Odenkirk is in this The Room remake. Yeah. The Room is getting a remake and Bob Odenkirk is starring.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Room is getting a remake. It's not something any of us expected. In fact, director Tommy Wiseau wasn't even aware of it until last Wednesday. Bob Odenkirk recently confirmed via Twitter that he was starring in the project and the internet went nuts for it. The Room wasn't known for being a particularly good film, nor was it artistic, innovative, or intellectually challenging.
It's not known for being particularly good, I would say. Yeah.
Instead, The Room became a cultural phenomenon simply because it was incredibly bad. So now, as a group of professional actors and filmmakers attempt to remake the film, their effort makes you wonder what it means to be bad. Much like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, The Room stepped so far out of the realm of what we might consider a normal picture that, after the preliminary dismissal wore off, that this was a bad film, audiences started to question why they were being drawn to it. To remake the movie, I'm like, when are they going to reference The Disaster Artist? Because that's what I want to understand. I'm scrolling down.
Christ, this article's long.
Yeah, it's like real long. Oh, here we go. Wiseau's co-star Greg Sestero wrote a book about his experience making the movie called The Disaster Artist. James Franco got a hold of it and wrote his own film that was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay that year.
If you can believe it. Did you guys see The Disaster Artist?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the best adapted screenplay.
I would say it's medical definition of mid.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's like the interview style movie.
Everything is fine.
Where the whole point is like the press of it.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. The Room is getting a remake from the charity organization Acting for a Cause. The group often remakes films to support particular causes. This time they're raising money for AMFAR, the Foundation for AIDS Research. So I guess that's what's happening.
Cool. Good luck to all those who have it.
Do you want to get involved? You could play the big wall.
The wall.
You could play
the
door that everyone like kind of leaves open.
On the roof.
Yeah.
Here I go.
It could be that little. It could be that little dog.
Yeah, you could be the green screen on the roof.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Nick is not green screen.
Nick is not green screen.
Let's wrap it up.
All right, thank you for watching.
Now, yeah, you could be in like one of those onesie like suits that's green. Yeah. And then we can start
like a green screen suit,
like a green screen guy. You're a green man.
That'd be a cool bit.
Yeah,
that'd
but you're not like chroma keyed. You're just running around having fun. Did you guys see that? Like somebody posted clearly a like Dude Perfect posted a joke video where their trick shots were being moved by someone that was.
Oh,
like,
and then people thought it was real.
Like what? And it's like, what? You think Dude Perfect was just invested in ruining its own channel with a
That's
bit?
So funny.
So not worth the effort. Yeah. So much more unnecessary work.
Yeah.
We're an animatronic.
Yeah. It was like, I saw one where it was like, they put the ball on like a zip line and it went into the hoop or whatever. And it's like, it doesn't follow a parabolic arc that like, a, you know, it's like, you can tell their videos are their whole brand is that they're real.
It could be. Yeah. Frankly, more work and more expensive than just throwing a basketball many times.
Yeah. Which is what I feel like that's part of the fun of the big freak out is them finally getting the shot that they
yeah, exactly. Missing. Exactly.
Your latest video, by the way, or more recent videos, have they been fulfilling the creative desire or drifting towards it?
It's tough because I feel like I'm very, it's that whole thing of like, you look back at a video that at the time when you put it out, you're like, this is my best video. I love this video. And then if it does bad, you're like,
yeah,
I never made that. That's not me.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like going through the cycle of like making something I'm really proud of, putting it out, and then like not hitting the whatever engagement that you are expecting or hoping for.
Right.
And then it also affects how I feel about the content in the past, regardless of whether or not I want it to. So I feel like it's been tough because there's just been such a battle of like, okay, I have these like my new style, at least on the main channel, that I'm trying to do is like more absurd, like weird, like objectives, and mixing in me doing stuff in real life with like narrating it. So I kind of still have like commentary on something, but it's not about anyone else except for just like something I'm doing.
Right.
Like the one I'm doing this week, I'm trying to like figure out if as a Girl Scout, I could like profit off of selling the cookies just to get the rewards they give you. So, you know, you like net, you gross like $250 by selling like fucking however 25 boxes of or 50 boxes of cookies to your neighbors, and then you get like a keychain or something. And so I want to break down like the ROI.
Yeah, you were talking about the economics of it last night.
Yeah.
And which I astutely noticed is because you're probably in the bloody Girl Scouts.
Stop making the frickin' jokes.
Big girl.
You wouldn't stop making those jokes yesterday. Mm.
Too much soy in your milk.
But
is that what the soy boy thing is from?
genuinely, soy contains traced estrogen, so it turns you into a Democrat.
Yeah.
Right, that's true, yeah.
It's like, oh, I want to vote for Joe Biden. So bad.
Oh, I'm thirsty. Yummy latte.
Mm. What's happening?
Yeah, but I feel like we're
morphing into a Democrat, Jack.
I'm going to Democrat. You ever thought about forgiving student debt?
It reminds me of times of corn pop, Jack. I don't have a Joe Biden, but I'm trying.
Reminds me of corn pop. Going to a plantation wedding.
Nope, that's from your that was an excerpt from your wedding speech.
Whoa! That's from my book.
Jordan Unchained.
Jordan Unchained. Uncut, raw,
oh, gross.
Free.
Raw and free.
Uncut.
Why is he cut?
He's not.
Oh, he's not.
I just
cut.
Said
I
that I'm not.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, basically I'm trying to go. I bought like a Girl Scout outfit, bought a beret with a vest, and I'm gonna go like buy.
So I feel like if you buy that, you go on a watch list.
Yeah. That does kind of sound like a military uniform.
I don't
the way
think you should
it.
Be allowed to order a Girl Scout.
Cute brown vest. I bought some patches. I got a beret. So I'm going to go.
The elaborating is not helping your case.
Yeah,
at
it's
all.
Really not.
So I'm going to go to the grocery store and just buy like random assorted, like some Keeblers, some Oreos, all that. And I'm just going to go out on the street and see how much I can profit by illegally like reselling. Just a sort of like random cookies on the street.
Damn. Are you going to donate to the Girl Scouts organization? You better.
Just say that you are.
I've heard it's a really good organization.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll pray about it for sure.
Okay.
I do like the idea of Nick being in like an I think you should leave style, like like Girl Scout costume, yeah. Where it's like, it's like trying to, trying to look like a girl.
There's
like
too much shit on me. Like, you,
yeah, you look, try to look like a young child.
I can't breathe.
The gin kills.
The beret kills. Take it off.
Yeah, it does actually.
You don't know.
I don't want to be around anymore.
Standing at like a lemonade stand, just saying, I don't want to be around anymore.
Yeah, as a, no one's
as
around.
As like a giant, like a scaled up Girl Scout.
Yeah, I have like a absurdly big table.
Yeah.
So I kind of fit the dimensions of a little girl.
Right, like if you took a photo, it would look right.
Yeah.
Like how miniatures with Star Wars or whatever.
Yeah.
They use force perspective.
Yeah. It's going to look ridiculous. It's like the Jimmy Carter photo with Joe Biden.
Where he's like in the mass. Chair and yeah. He looks really tiny. Yeah.
He looks so small.
He looks like a marionette.
Joe looks like he's 7 feet tall.
In the photo, Jack.
I'm stood next to a big ant with a Jimmy Carter. A big C for Crow.
They made him sell his peanut farm.
Yeah, poor guy. I did a report on him in fifth grade. Jimmy Carter. He was always my favorite.
You reported him?
Yeah, I reported
him. Freaking narc, dude.
Citizens arrest.
That's why I didn't win the next election.
I sent the president, who at the time was George Bush, a letter when I was in elementary school. And the White House responded.
Wow. And you were just thanking him for like all the good
kind
shit
of just being based in epic. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like being the president? How much do you bowl a day?
There's a bowling alley in there.
Yeah. How much do you make? Yeah.
Do you want to have to hang out?
Do you know how much the president makes? Annual salary?
400?
It is 400 grand. I don't know if it's changed. I remember that from high school. Yeah.
But Donald Trump, you know, he turned it down.
Yeah. He's like a, because he doesn't care about money.
He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. You seen his golden hotel? He cares about gold. He cares about resources.
Yeah, he doesn't like care Qatar. About
I have a full golden Evangelion suit.
I have a plug suit.
I've got a golden mech.
Yeah, what if he spends every dollar on a Gundam?
Yeah, yeah. He's just slowly building it.
Yeah.
That would honestly, I would be tempted.
He would win points, I think. Unfortunately, he would
turns
win
up
points.
to book a primary in a Gundam.
Or the debate.
He like left it in the White House as an accident. So during the debates, he's like, guys, I just need to get back to my like Gundam. It's like almost done.
Let me zoom in, please.
Please. And then I'll leave in the suit.
DeSantis
in a suit.
Like, in is a like suit. A different anime. He has like a katana. Suit.
Yeah.
DeSantis is dressed like Afro Samurai.
My suits are made by the most talented Japanese mech engineers.
I don't like China, but I love Japan. I'm a weeb.
I'm a weeb.
I'm a weeb.
We call it weebing.
We call it weebing.
I have the best waifu.
Shout out to Toei Animation.
What if I name my son Vegeta?
Oh, yeah. I saw you tweet about that.
Isn't that a crush?
Vegeta Adika?
Yeah. Vegeta Adika.
Vegeta.
Feels wrong. I don't know. Yeah. Something's up. Something's
Vegeta up Samurai Adika.
Samurai Jack.
Roman.
Samurai Jack. Samurai Jack.
What Jack? Samurai Jack.
Oh, my God.
Oh, somebody's got to do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can have that one for free.
Oh, it could be your new video.
Oh, that could be my, yeah, do something weird.
You know, like, it's crazy that Will.i.am did the theme song to Samurai Jack.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the gotta be Mac to the Mac Samurai Jack. That's
you're crying. You're so confused.
Gotta be Mac Jack.
That's awesome. Shout out Will.i.am if you're watching this.
Have you received any kind of interesting messages about the new direction of recent content? Have you gotten like some hell yeah,
like concerns, like from concerned fans that yeah. Like, I just want you to talk about like a weird guy on Instagram. Stop.
Yeah, you seem like you're like normal style.
Yeah. What is this you're talking to like a sword swallower for?
I honestly it's like I feel like it's hard to end up having people like especially in commentary negatively not like react to stuff, new things you're doing. Like the people who do see it really like it, but you know, you're like, oh, let me check on my comments after a few hours. And you have like few more. And I'm like, oh, I used to have more comments stuff. So it's just like that process of like, oh, I don't look at the YouTube studio. I don't even like knowing how I'm doing anymore since it just like ruined me.
Mm.
But at the same time, it's like once you put something out there, you can sense the vibe of if it's doing well or not, depending on how many people are telling you they watch the video.
Right.
And reading through comments. And so it's just that like, It's that weird thing where everyone's obviously going to be like, yeah, you should keep doing what you like doing. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool and all, but like.
Like, we're not going to watch it. But like, you should, I hope you're having fun.
Yeah.
And so it's not really for me. You know, I don't really enjoy that stuff.
And so it's like, I enjoy making it more. And it seems like people who are watching it enjoy it more. But at the same time, it's like, that doesn't. It's not always going to rarely translates to like pulling myself out of
it's like, kind
of
like starting a new channel.
You know, that's what it feels like to me. It's like, yeah. I'm trying to re-envision in a way that's not like, hey, I have 500,000 people subscribed to me and I can't even, I, you know, can only pull this percentage of them, which is how my brain always works. Sure. And it's like, regardless of whether or not I would like having this many views 2 years ago, that it doesn't.
Your brain's already been anchored to exactly expect a different thing. Yeah.
And when you've hit like a certain high with something, but that specific content is something you just can't make anymore.
It yeah, I mean, it's easy to compartmentalize. Like if you do get a, for people who don't know, the YouTube analytics dashboard shows you a top recent video performance list and shows you how well X video is doing relative to how the previous videos have done. So for example, it can be a bit of a blow when you get a 10. It is just like performing worse than 9 videos in a row prior.
Yeah.
It feels like your career is dead. Like getting a 10 out of 10 feels like YouTube said, you tried and it wasn't good enough. Maybe try something else, by which I mean stop making videos and get a job.
Yeah. I truly am completely fine with it. A video ranking never bothers me at all because I know it is random, borderline non-meritocracy. There are variables like thumbnail, title, are such soft science that, you know, I'm still trying to figure that out. But ultimately, like, we are very lucky because we have so many leverageable. It's like, okay, well, I'm just not doing well. I'll just do 20 collabs with the huge famous people we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's just always there all the time. And it might mean some creative compromise, certainly.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's not like, I don't know. I try and be respectful of the fact that we are so privileged in the content we can make and the content we can afford to fail with.
Exactly.
As opposed to Joseph Anderson does a 7-hour video game video essay and it gets 500,000 views instead of the many millions it gets, then that is like a, oh shit, okay. I'm eating through my savings then. I'm not making money on this.
And that's also where things like Patreon come in. We have a Patreon now, patreon.com/sadboys. Support us, support Jordan's immigration fees.
A lot of it goes to lawyers, which would be appreciated. They're currently doing it for exposure. Yeah. Which feels unethical.
It's coming out of our bank account.
Yeah, boy, did they say no to that.
I think that feeling drove me to post elsewhere a lot more. Like I definitely neglected my main channel.
Oh, like elsewhere being gold.
Gold and then the streams as well. And then also the podcast. I do want to get back to the main channel, but I kind of feel like I need to change things up to succeed and to continue sort of growing on that channel.
Yeah.
It has been a bit refreshing to see that the gold channel is successful. You know what I mean? Because I think that
you talk about leverageable, right? Like the gold and what it is right now is always there and always going.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like surprising because I think that the feeling of like putting a lot of work into like scripting a video and like really like planning it out and then having it not pan out sucks. But the feeling of like, you know, not spending a lot of time on a video and having it do really well, like every video on the gold channel, is like, okay, this is kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, but it also enables, you know, a lot of other projects. Like a lot of the gold channel is like, you know, financing everything we're doing here. And,
yeah.
You know, like all that stuff. And that's, it's nice to have like the separation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that like don't understand the difference between those two channels.
Oh, trust me. I get it. I run the very similar.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's okay.
Often literally don't know.
Yeah. Like, people just are like, well,
watch from both channels and just assume they are the same channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's like, you know, I would say it's mostly a blessing. because the difference is really about my own experience like doing the stuff. Like for me, the main channel is larger projects, and that can mean I like watched a movie and like wrote like a big script about it. And it can also mean that I did like a thing where I like bought a bunch of products and waited months for everything to show up and then did that.
But just even prior to what you're shifting now is, you know, your channel is high concept. Main channel, that's
it's
more exciting, it's more fun. Buying a Girl Scout costume is kind of fucked, but that, you know, you've already done it, I guess.
It already happened.
Citizen's arrest. Give me the beret.
give me the straw hat and
take me to a plantation.
God damn.
Unchained.
But yeah, I feel like I'm going through a similar thing, except that I'm watching the same analytic drop, because I dropped off doing both my channels like around last year. And so now I'm like,
it was like after you moved, right? That was,
yeah. Like ever since I moved, everything's been a disaster. Basically. It feels like that's like the weird.
I do like, feel like I would check in on you every couple of weeks and you'd be like, I'm not doing so good. And I'm like, oh man, is there anything I could do to help? And you're like, I'm figuring it out. It's fine. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Okay. But you know, we're here.
Yeah. it's just been like the moving thing was just like, so happy I did it and I'm happy I'm here and I love everything going on around me, but it's just the job part that is like that last thing that I have not
cracked,
that I haven't cracked in my head to make me be like, everything's okay. Cause now I'm like watching the same thing happen with my second channel, and I'm balancing between like, okay, now the second channel's like main channel's high concept, obscure, absurdist, weird, like just like quests. And then
quests. Yeah. Actually, that's like a good description.
And then the second channel, I'm like, okay, well, I could do like improv commentary stuff on there that's easy to push out, because that was that's why I'm here, is because I use the second channel to finance by where I'm going and my lifestyle and all that. And so it's scary to watch me on both ends be like, okay, well, is the second channel commentary now, but if I make a commentary video, is it going to take so much work that I'm going to want to put it on the main channel? But then I'm watching both channels just be confused by YouTube or people in general, where there's just not an interest in a shift I'm trying to make. But at the same time, I've tried many times to sit down at my desk and do like what I did before, and it's just like, I just can't.
Like, is in the main channel what you used to do before?
Yeah, just like commentary in general, like even just finding stuff to react to or finding stuff to like watch or even doing streams. It's like all of this stuff has turned into this like completely different beast in my life than it was when I first started doing the job. And I found it so easy to control that when I was starting it, and I felt very smart at what I did. And I was like, I know what I'm doing. I know how YouTube works. I'm like a smart guy. And then this happens and it's like, oh no, never mind. All that stuff that I thought I knew, I was just on a good streak. Like it really was arbitrary. And now I'm like in this place where it's like, I can't figure it out. At the same time, I want to, you know, I don't want my finances to just drop exponentially, because now it's like people want this one thing. And it's like,
that is one of the tough things about all of this, is that at the end of the day, you have to like pay bills. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
people.
And so changing your content, it not only has a, you know, like analytical impact on your channel, your content, but it also can have a financial impact. And so it's something that, you know, it is tough to balance, you know, because you want everything to be sustainable, right? Yeah. You don't want to be sort of struggling to, you know, you kind of just get yourself into a position where you're like, oh, I should be able to earn a certain amount of money.
Exactly.
And then I'm like, uh-oh, you know, it's like, is that not happening?
Yeah. And it's the whole thing where it's like, you know, this obviously comes with a big blanket of like, I love having the ability to do what I want to do. The fact that I can even shift to a different genre and let myself fail, knowing that I don't need to like move out of my house or like go home or anything, is like a very good thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, part of the reason I moved out here was to be able to expand what I was doing and make it bigger. And it feels like instead I just like basically took everything and threw it away. And then now I'm like starting from scratch, and I'm like, okay, now this is like my standard for views, and I need to sort of build myself back up. but it's hard to watch that when like your sub number already contains so many of the people that you would be grabbing. So it's like, it's a little bit scary to be like,
it's like a chicken egg solution problem, right? Because you, at one point in my life, I went to the gym a lot. It was when I was working at an office, and that's part of the reason I could. It was on there and on the way back, right? It was easy to engage with. I went like too much because I was just addicted to, I was not on any kind of medication. Yeah. I was addicted to like having some kind of alleviation in my mood and sleeping and stuff. But it was whenever I would fall off it, either because of extended travel or even just like the depression or like a negative beat being too severe to just motivate me to do anything, you know, even not going into work, it not just chemically is like a huge drop, but turning the momentum around again is so difficult because you stopped, it made you feel way worse. And now going back, which you know will feel better, requires you to get over a really unpleasant feeling.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's this frustrating loop of compulsive behavior or like not being kind to yourself while you're trying to find a part of you that will be kind to you in a way that somebody else would.
Yeah. Right?
Which is the big benefit, I'd say, of being here or just amongst friends is that like, like you just came around like last night, right?
Yeah.
We just hung out and it was viable because you just could immediately. It was like not something we planned a couple days ago. Like sometimes I'll get up at a very reasonable 3 p.m. and you and Ethan are just upstairs and it's like, oh, great. Like I don't have to find my way to normalcy.
Yeah.
There's just a conversation to kind of pull me out of the morning depressive grogginess, whatever. And that it's easy to take for granted. And I am really enjoying that. We've also gotten a lot closer, obviously.
Yeah.
Hang out as opposed to chatting online occasionally.
Yeah, definitely.
Along with me and Ethan also, you know. I don't know. It's nice. I don't know. I feel a lot more human. And
yeah.
I'm not trying to advise, like, what the fuck do I know? But it definitely, I'm finding some solace in knowing that I'm not great as far as, like, mental well-being is, and the version of me that is great or in a good mood would be able to handle all of this. I feel like it's just that first day going back to the gym that I don't know how to do right now.
And I think,
which might literally start with going to the gym, you know, like something completely unrelated to work.
I think and I've definitely experienced that, like the activation energy to like do a thing that you know is going to have a tangible improvement on your life is sometimes so hard to sort of get over.
An office was helpful.
Yeah. We've talked about that. The structure of that. Yeah. I think one thing is like, you know, you just got to be patient with yourself because at least in my experience, you are slowly building up that energy. Like, I feel like I was talking about starting a YouTube channel for like the majority of my life from like when I was like age 14 to like age like 25. And then I finally like,
this is in the early 70s.
Yeah. And then I finally did it and, you know, found success in it. And there's a part of me, like I bet to a lot of people, I was just like the guy who was saying one of these days, I'm going to start a YouTube channel, you know?
Yeah.
But
I could have been in the NFL.
Exactly.
I just had to say something else, but I picked a YouTube.
That's awesome. No, but that's the thing where I'm like, told you, you know, know what I mean? But I think it's like, I sometimes take my sweet time getting to these like important things that I care about because it, you know, the energy and the life position and all these variables need to be aligned. And I feel similarly about my own, you know, social life recently, because I think that currently my life balance has been the best that it's ever been.
Said that in a way of like, you look like shit.
I
would say
is training part of that?
Well, no, actually, I would say in spite of the training,
okay,
because it's too much. It like takes up too much space. And then also having two dogs and then like needing to find, you know, a foster home for Frankie. And then also I'm moving. And then also we've got, like, there's just a lot of other things.
You're trying to get me adopted. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Also. But I guess I wouldn't say ever. I guess I would say since working in an office and having like a very default, like, life balance built in because of the 9 to 5 of it all.
Approval helps. It's not that, like, it's this for everyone, but it was nice to be like applauded for being balanced and getting into work and being positive and engaged and like clearly not just being the only audience for that.
And there's, you know, just what I mean? In your day to day at an office job, there's so many opportunities to get like little dopamine boosts and things.
Wins, like little.
Yeah. Little wins or little, you have a fun little conversation with Elizabeth up in the kitchen and then you're like, ah, what a cool friend. What a cool coworker that is.
Did you work in an office at any point?
No. I never had like a, cause I went straight out of college and then basically I graduated in college November 2020 and then just did editing until I was doing YouTube full time.
What did you do in college?
I studied audio engineering.
Oh, right. I assumed you went to baby school for being a baby.
No, for crying. Baby, yeah.
I think you went to crying school for being scared of everything.
Well, Nick, tell me if you connect with this. I have met, you know, a number of your friends from like your hometown.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Chicago Joe, Chicago Steve,
Danny Gonzalez,
Chicago Danny Gonzalez.
Three best friends.
And I think my initial sense about you was that, like, despite the fact that you were kind of still, when we met, living in your parents' basement, right?
Yeah.
You had a good network of support, you know? And so you can, you know, you had your parents, you had your sibling, at least one of them was home, right?
Yeah, one of them was home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Couldn't remember which one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stuff blending together.
I had a sibling there.
Yeah, some like city in Texas.
I think it was Eddie Burbank, I guess. I couldn't
think of it. Chicago Joe, actually.
Yeah, Chicago Joe.
You know, you had friends who you would regularly see and you were in a town where you had built a network.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like there is something about...
Oh, sorry, were they high school friends?
Yeah.
So like a long network, like a very...
Yeah, yeah. I've known most of them. Like Josh, I've known almost 10 years now. Mm. And the rest of them were all throughout high school also.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because now I have this like split between people that have been in my life before YouTube and like people that I've met through work.
Yeah.
And I, it's weird because like when I moved, I didn't feel like I had very many reasons to stay in Illinois because the only people that were there were my parents and all my friends moved away to work. And then my ex-girlfriend. So I had no reason to be there anymore. So it's like.
Now your wife, the ex-girlfriend.
My ex-girlfriend because she's like, my wife.
No. Yeah, yeah.
And so I moved and I felt like I wasn't leaving that much behind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden you're not in an apartment. You're in a house and your parents aren't a drive away. And there's no one else living with you except for your cat. So now it's like all of a sudden every day is like, oh, I got to call this person to do this. I got to do this to do this. The reason my downstairs bathroom is shut off in my house is because I have termites.
Oh shit.
In my house. I have subterranean termites in the foundation of my house.
Oh my God.
It's like, so it's just like always, it's like, I didn't have to worry about subterranean termites before.
Right. That's they didn't have them in Illinois. Yeah.
You had them, but you had a relationship with them.
Yeah. I had a connection and now they don't even know who I am.
They don't respect Chicagoites.
What I want to, Chicagoites are the Chicago version of termites. Yeah. The thing though, I want to say is that like, you are kind of having that post-college self-discovery of like, I'm actually, because college is still a little bit like training wheels for adulthood because you have structure and you have like stuff to do and you still get grades. You know what I mean? Where it's like your metric is like, am I passing? Am I still like going to get a degree at the end of this and stuff? But then, you know, you are having the experience that a lot of people have when they like go out into the job market for the first time, except for it's this more amorphous job with like not a real corporate ladder to climb.
And you don't have a third party saying you're doing well.
Yeah.
The third party is the YouTube studio.
Yeah. Is the constructive criticism in the YouTube comments.
And it, yeah.
Yuck. L.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it feels like before I was like when I lived in Illinois, I was a different person who knew how to like be as efficient, like the most efficient version of myself. And I was pumping out videos and I look back and I'm like, I just don't know how I did that, because now it's like I can't even post once a week on two of my channels.
Well, yeah, but like your mental health is a factor in all of that. And like I think that you may be experiencing like a momentary like dip in the grand scheme of things while you kind of build up your identity in a new place, your support systems in a new place, your routines in a new place.
Yeah.
And as long as you're being patient with yourself, as hard as that is, given like when it feels like the end of the world, when you like post a video and it doesn't go, like you're going to get to a better place as long as you like continue to sort of strive and stuff.
Yeah. And that's like the tough part of it.
You in
like,
therapy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
And I like started with a new psych, which has been great.
The big man?
I had a meeting with him yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we have the same psychiatrist.
That seems like a conflict of interest.
Well, we do it in the same session.
Yeah, no, he tells me stuff about him.
Oh, right. Yeah. He breaks the rules. Yeah.
Like, he's not, yeah, like,
he's not doing so hot.
Yeah, we watch my videos and make fun of them.
Yeah. I'm screen share on this. We only got 40 minutes left in the meeting. Let's just turn one
pop one in.
One thing I'll say about our psychiatrist, I'm curious if you also had this experience. He is the most, he's like the kindest, very efficient communicator, as he should be, and over text he's so curt that it's like that experience of having a friend, you're like, do they hate me?
I literally went through the same thing where I'll be like, thank you so much, like I haven't had like anyone that has tried to like really solve my problems up until now, blah blah blah, send a big text and he's just like, you're welcome, period.
It's basically like go
dude. Here's like I sent him a text yesterday that was literally hi, sorry for the late text. I accidentally took my Lamotrigine twice today. Just happened, so not sure if I should feel different or not. Should I be concerned or something? You will be fine. The end.
Yeah.
I don't think I've gotten like a longer than a single sentence.
He's very efficient.
From the big dog in my life.
Great guy, though. I feel like since that, which I think the first time I met with him was like a month ago, I feel like I am getting closer to that, like. Like, I feel like there's this disconnect between, like, myself and what I'm actually, like, how I see everything in my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly, like, at odds with... So now, basically, like, I think for the first time, which is something I never really talk about because it's just such a, like, broad... It's kind of like ADHD in the sense that it's, like, this broad, like, umbrella. But I just now started getting treated for OCD for the first time in my life, which is something that I had been diagnosed for in the past but have never been properly medicated for.
Right.
And so... Yeah,
I feel like so often, at least the anecdote the big dog has told me, is that, like, a lot of medical professionals are hesitant to treat OCD
because
it's often misdiagnosed. And so especially doctors will just be like, it's just work on the other stuff.
Yeah. And then I, you know, for a couple of years, I tried working on the other stuff and then I was like, well, it doesn't work. Mm. So,
which is the only thing you need to know.
Yeah.
There's such overcomplication. It's just like, well, I feel really bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, am I supposed to feel bad? I think that is what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
I think me not feeling well is the entire diagnosis, I sort of feel like.
Yeah. Well, I went through the same thing yesterday where I've been taking this this medication that you're supposed to like ramp up to, this OCD medication called clomipraline. And
what a fun thing to say.
Yeah.
I should just call it like OCDzo or something.
Yeah.
Like, who are you trying to impress?
Me? Obsessive compulsive.
I can't stop doing this.
Pillzo.
Pillzo.
Make it stop. So basically it was like, I was like, I don't feel anything, of course. And he's like, okay, let's ramp up to this number. And it was the same situation where like it hit the cap. And so he's like giving me one of one and one of the other. And I asked him and was just like, so once I like increase this, like what should I be like watching out for? Mm-hmm. Like what should I be like looking for, like to know it's working? And he was just like, you should be like less anxious and like happier. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
No. Yeah. You should have less OCD symptoms.
I was like, yo, that makes sense though. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. Medicine.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I broke my arm and you put it in a sling. Should it be broken forever? Or?
No. Over time, you should be able to use your arm like it was.
Heal it. Right. Yeah. Okay. But yeah. That's like,
no. Yeah. Like the past year, I feel like I've just been through this like gauntlet of like being thrown different like medications. I mean, especially since I've moved in, it's just been this crazy, like, okay, I'm experiencing this symptom. Is it me with having withdrawals from the SSRI I was taking, or is it a side effect of the new OCD meds I'm taking, or is it the Adderall that I take that at a wrong time and this and that?
Or is it just how much of it is conditional?
Yeah. And then part of it is like, okay, is that just how, is that just me?
Yeah.
But do I need to get rid of this thing or that? And it's just like this long thing of, for the past year, I've just been like, oh yeah, like I think I'm right on the edge of like getting back to where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then every time it's like this big,
it helps having an authority that isn't explicitly responsible. It's like almost like having a mental health assistant.
Yeah.
Which you pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they just like, I'll go back in and I won't remember the name of one we were going to try out.
But yeah.
Big Dog remembers it and is informative about it.
Big Dog.
Big Dog. And I'll text.
You yeah.
That automatic reply from
him. Yeah. I'm just imagining like you on Zoom with like a German Shepherd. Yeah. Who like knows a lot about.
It comforts me.
The Big Dog.
Praline or whatever.
Sits on my lap. He's very comforting. You know, it's an emotional support psychiatrist.
Yeah. But it's nice to like know that I can feel myself getting closer to that goal. But at the same time, I'm like, isn't that what I said however long ago?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel better?
I'm having more. Before the new medication, it was a much bigger blanket of like I feel like I visualized the way that my issues happen in my head as like an outward thing. And it feels like I more had this like blanket of just bad over everything. And now it's sort of that, okay, I'm having good days now, but there will just be random days thrown in there where it's just like, nope, can't do like anything the whole day. Like every time I try to turn to do a task, my brain is just like, nope, you don't want to do that. You want to go to this place.
Yeah.
And I put on my shoes to go out for a run. I step 1 foot outside. Nope, you don't want to do that.
That's very relatable.
And you're looking through the fridge looking for food for an hour. And there's, it's just like, there.
Yeah,
it's that feeling, but with like every decision you make in your life.
Oh, that's
like option paralysis.
Yeah. And that's like my like the thing is, it's like, okay, I have like, I'm having more good days now, but there are just like random. It's very much like back and forth, which is hard because if you're trying to do a job where it's like, okay, now I'm trying to post once a week on all my channels, but randomly I could expect any single day for me to just like be completely like turned off, which is
that. Yeah. That's something that I've dealt with a lot the past year too, with, you know, it's like, I've been dealing with fatigue and like wanting to be lying down all the time.
Yeah.
And I started taking, I realized I had some like vitamin deficiencies. Vitamin B12 deficiency. And then I got tested again after like 3 months, because that's how long it takes for like this stuff to like,
oh, really?
Enter your like bloodstream.
Yeah.
And then I just was thinking, did I forget to take, I didn't take my medication this morning. Whoops.
Oops.
Yeah, you see,
oopsie.
Insane.
Yeah. And then I got tested again and they were like, B12 looks good. And, but, oh, we didn't test for this before, but vitamin D, you have a vitamin D deficiency. Yeah. And I was like, oh, why didn't you test for that before? And then like,
I could have been doing that for 3 months.
Yeah. And then now I've been doing that for 3 months and then I'm going to go back in and like get another blood test done. And it's like, I think things are improving, but what's frustrating is the feeling like you're doing everything right. It's like, I'm exercising, I'm eating well, I'm like taking the medications I'm supposed to take. And yet sometimes I'm still like, you know, losing days and needing to like, just like lie down, or like I will start working and then I'll like not be feeling it. And I'll be like, hey, I need to like take a moment to rest. And then I like, don't get up the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's like a very frustrating feeling. That being said, like, you know, it's all a part of the journey. I think I've never felt like I really cracked it with my medication. Like I've tried like every ADHD treatment, you know, under the sun. And I still don't think I've like really found the perfect thing for me.
Yeah.
And then I, a similar experience with like, anxiety, depression medications, where I'm just like, you know, done the whole gauntlet to the point where we're like, okay, well let's think outside the box and try, you know, other things. And it can be very discouraging, disheartening, you know, to be like, okay, when is it going to click, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I try to be kind to myself. I try to remind myself that like I'm doing the thing and this is all a journey and it's just a matter of like trying to be patient while, you know, figure it out.
I'll say the game is listening, by the way. I'm going to say gay.
That was on my tongue. The gay is listening.
The gay is listening. To the listeners, especially if that you even have like a soft inclination that mental health could be something you need to explore more. Or if you have this, especially if you have this weird subconscious skepticism, not necessarily around medication in general, but medication in your life, whether it's something to explore or not. Granted, especially with the US health system, it is not an easy journey. It's very hard to build the momentum. If your thought is ever, well, no, treatment won't work with that. That's just me.
Yeah.
There is no difference between a condition and it being you.
Mm-hmm.
What it is a vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah.
What's actually happening is you don't have the thing you need to be normalized. If you ever have the... Especially if you ever have the experience of wanting to do something and being unable, that is the definition of being depressed or limited in some way. Because otherwise, you should only need the desire to do something to do it. That should be the only step. If you find yourself in the loop of like literally actively wanting something and being unable to do it, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And all we're saying is, you know, we're not experts or anything like that, but talking to a mental health professional, if you do have access.
And we all, I mean, a doctor. I would say all of us, a long and very extensive experience of experimenting, getting it right, getting it wrong via professionals, not on our own basis, but like, I don't know. It's surprising to me, or like you were saying, it's hard to relate to the person you were in Chicago right now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is hard for me to relate to me at 24, not being diagnosed yet, getting diagnosed late into my, like the middle of my 20s. And now thinking of myself all those years prior, putting speed bumps in my way or just accepting the speed bumps.
Yeah,
because the momentum needed to change that just felt wrong. Wanting to prove to myself that I could manually defeat my B12 deficiency.
Yeah.
Or I'm just missing a hand, but I won't get the special cybernetic hand. I should just learn to use the other one.
Yeah, my vision's blurry, but I can't get glasses because that's unnatural.
I'm not trying hard enough to just read in a different way. It's just unnecessary pain for proving nothing to no one.
So,
with
that, Nick, I want to thank you for being open and honest, vulnerable with us today on this podcast that is uncut. Called Sad Boys Uncut. There were cuts. Don't worry.
Yeah. They were chains.
Yeah.
And literally, well, I mean, we looked at some.
If you want to continue listening to us talking to Nick, we are going to be doing a special bonus episode of the show as we do every week on patreon.com/sadboys. I was on a plane yesterday and the pilot said, we can't land. We have to go somewhere else. And I didn't
haven't decided yet.
Yeah. And I was like asleep partially, like on the plane, and I woke up and everybody was like freaking out on the plane. And we'll be talking about that story on the bonus episode of Sad Boys. Patreon.com/sadboys. Check it out. But Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to share with the world?
I don't really care.
Who are you voting for 2024?
I don't know.
ChatGPT. I figured that they're going to be running.
Yeah, ChatGPT-4.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, ChatGPT-4 is out. No one cares. I'm going on a tour.
Yeah,
that's right. Queef Jerky.
But yeah, I'm playing, well, not, well, technically, I'm playing drums for Dev.
Oh.
Who is opening for the Half Alive tour across the state. So if you want to see me, I'm the least important. We're the first opening band and I'm the only other person in the band. So I'm like the least important person on the whole tour.
Hey, that's pretty cool though.
Very low risk. Low, what's the word? I have a responsibility.
Oh, yeah. Minimal responsibility.
Low risk. Yeah.
A lot of risk, though.
What? How many cities are you doing?
There's 24 different shows.
Whoa.
In like the span of a little over a month, and neither of us. I used to play a lot of live shows. Dev's played like one before.
Mm.
And I don't know. She had never seen me play drums before the first rehearsal, but she was just like, I'm sure you're good. And I was like, okay.
Well, you got to learn.
Were you good?
I learn.
Let us know on the bonus episode, patreon.com/sadboys. You'll also hear about my crazy plane story. But we end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase.
We love you.
Oh. And we're sorry.
Boom. He knows it. He didn't even need to be told.
A fan.
All right. We'll see you on the Patreon. Bye-bye.
I think it's Katie had a friend that mixed up the phrases cracking up and jacking off.
He's really jacking off right now.
Yeah, I'm jacking off to them.
I'm jacking off reading your text.
I've seen Ricky Gervais's new hour. I was jacking off.
Jacking off.
I was in the theater just jacking off.
I was just jacking off in class. Gucci girl, Gucci girl, how you doing? How you moving, girl? Moving, girl. How's your day looking? That future girl, future girl. Yeah, we all now. Take my money, go away. Are you want it? Guys, you're rich from me.